Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Live from St. John Fisher for one more day this year. Training camp coverage brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We're at St. John Fisher University, and it's the last day of training camp. It's the first day of the full preseason slate with three games going tonight, Colts and Ravens, Bengals and Eagles, and Raiders and Seahawks. Those all go tonight. The Bills, of course, play on Saturday against the Giants. And Sal, we asked Sean McDermott yesterday, and he did not have he did not want to share with us yet. Said players still have to find out. Perhaps today in the 9 o'clock hour, we find out who plays when for the first preseason game.
Yeah, possibly. If he hasn't told players yet, obviously he wasn't going to reveal it to the media. So we'll see what happens today. There have been times in the past. I was going through this the other day, trying to think. Like, I don't know. I'm doing this long enough to tell you guys that there's been times where we knew. There's been times, like today maybe, let's say a couple days before. There's been times where we didn't know until maybe the next day leading up, just kind of getting out there somehow, maybe, you know, whatever form that is. And then there's things we didn't know until we got to the stadium, to be quite honest with you. Like, it's just, who knows what the plan is. And I think part of it is really with the injuries. I mean, let's think about it this way, too. Let's just take Josh out of the equation. We can talk about him, but what about a guy like Ray Davis? If James Cook is holding in, if James Cook is not here and he's holding in, how much do you give Ray Davis, even if the starters are playing? Like, do you, right? Like, he's the starter, but, you know, what? Now suddenly you're on your second guy in your depth chart, really, so to speak, as your starter.
Yep.
And if they're not playing, then you probably don't play him at all, to be honest with you. They have every offensive lineman except for Spencer Brown, I would think, available for this game, right?
Yep.
So I think you're okay if you want to play Josh, but you have to think about who's available on the offensive line. Because if you don't have Alec Anderson, you don't have Cedric Van Fram Granger, by the time you take out the first unit, who's getting second unit reps with Mitch Trubisky or with Mike White? I think all those things have to go into play.
I'm glad you brought up Ray Davis. Like, we had a little conversation about that earlier. Hadn't thought about it yet about, you know, not to spend too much time on the Cook thing, but how does it come to a resolution if all of a sudden the running backs had the injuries that the receivers have had this camp? Then it gets tense, right? Oh, yes. Ray Davis is out for a little bit, and now Ty Johnson too. You are deep in that depth chart, and you have a healthy guy that's just waiting to play. So I don't know that that'll ultimately happen, but, you know, whatever. We're here at the end of camp. The other thing I want to ask you about that, Sal, on the Cook conversation. What, how does practice change for what we see, what you see from training camp to starting next week? Because the spotlight Cook has here, won't that be lessened once practice goes back to Buffalo to a degree?
Yeah, only by the fans. So it's a great question because Hard Knocks continues through the preseason. They're going to be at the preseason game. They're going to be at next week's joint practice in Chicago. They're going to be at next week's game in Chicago at Tampa. Practice does not change, and only in one regard. There are no fans. We get to watch everything still as a media up until the regular season starts. So it doesn't change for us. When I go out to practice next week, let's say Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever they're going to be on the field, there is nothing different other than they're in Orchard Park, and we get to watch in Orchard Park. We get to watch everything, and we can show, okay, there's James Cook on the exercise bike, or he's not here at all. We can see all that. Once you get to the regular season, that's where it changes, where we only get to watch warm-ups. Josh throwing to receivers, offensive linemen doing their thing, and then, okay, guys, back in the media room because we're game planning, and we're going through things, and then we come back out later. So that's when you're guessing. I haven't seen him, but it's been an hour and a half, so he could be here, right? But for the next couple of weeks, you'll know what we see. Now, that said, it also is a little different in Orchard Park because whether it's, I guess, Holden would be different, but if a guy is injured, sometimes, like, he's at the facility training. We just don't see him because he doesn't come out to the field. What's the purpose? Here, the tents are right there. So they come right out on the field sometimes. So it's there's all different kind of because of logistics why you might or might not see somebody.
Sal, do you – I don't think you could know this unless somebody has asked it or said it, but is Cook's hold-in limited to just on-field work? Like, is he just skipping the practice part of it, you know, keep his – to not risk injury without the long-term extension? I wonder if he's, like, in meetings and if he's doing everything else other than practicing. Like, how far does a hold-in really go? Because that's new to all of us.
That's a really good question. I don't know that. I don't know if we could get that information. I don't know if the team would tell you that.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not back there, but I wonder the same thing.
Like, would he be skipping a meeting in the running backs room? Like, it would be.
Here's my guess. This is purely a guess by me. I'm not reporting. I'm just guessing it. I think he's doing all that because then the team, if that were the case, the team could definitely fine him.
Right.
He'd be missing things. He'd be, you know, your team can give repercussions for that kind of stuff.
Right. That makes sense.
You know, but on field work, there's nothing that says you can fine or anything like that.
Gotcha.
Sal Capaccio here. We're at St. John Fisher. All right, so yesterday's practice, Spencer Brown back with the team for the first time in team drills.
Yeah.
He detailed what happened. His flare-up got caused by maybe pushing a little too hard in workouts right up to camp. But he kind of made a point to say it's not like it was 3 years ago. That was a different thing. He got that procedure. He feels fine. And then he's had back flare-ups before, and you guys didn't know about it. So I feel like he was kind of trying to calm everybody down.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, it's probably right when your regular season. Let's say it's a flare-up in the regular season. Do we know if it would have been bad enough for him to be out there? Or is this, hey, it's training camp. Let's just get you right. We're not going to get you out there, right? We don't know that. We also don't know, you know, exactly the timeline of, you know, when he said it's right before. If it was, like they say, 2 weeks before that, yeah, he's good enough. He can come out here and do some things, right? So they just wanted to be really, really cautious. They wanted to be really careful. There's no doubt. I thought it was also interesting about how he talked about, this is really good insight, how these guys think, probably like any other human being, he was afraid to disappoint people a few years ago. And like, what are my teammates going to think about me? What are my coaches going to think about me? They're going to think like, oh, I don't want to be out there. He's had to have a change because, sure, he's been in the league. He signed a massive contract extension. He's a pillar now on the Buffalo Bills. Like, Spencer Brown's not going to take any young guy going, oh, you're not out there yet. Heck with you, right? So that part of his life, I think, has probably also allowed him to say, I don't need to push it. I'll be fine. They'll be fine. I'm going to trust them. I don't got to get out there before I'm ready, and I'm going to make sure that I'm ready before I'm out there. And it was good to see him out there, obviously.
Sal, the Bills made a move yesterday, waiving Baylen Spector and bringing in another linebacker. If you have followed Spector's career, this might not be that surprising because of all the injuries. But so, too, like, one on Spector, and also, like, is the middle linebacker battle behind Bernard over, or do you think Joe Andreessen's got other competition?
I think it's over. I mean, to me, this would have to be – it would be a massive – upset result if Joe Andreessen isn't the backup middle linebacker, because what are your options beyond him at this point? You could say Shaq Thompson, and I think Shaq Thompson's had a good camp, but he hasn't been healthy now for a week. The thing about Shaq Thompson, though, is he's so versatile, I don't even know if they want to pigeonhole him to say, you're the Mike behind, you know, anybody, or you're the Will. He's just versatile. He can do a lot of different things. We know that's not Dorian Williams' spot. He might train there once in a while or get to know it. That's not his spot. He's the Will linebacker. And honestly, guys, I have not seen enough of Eddie Ulofosio to think that he might not make this team, right? You know, I mean, there's just the numbers there, and I'm thinking, I don't know if Eddie's going to be a guy that you could even, you know, have on the 53. Maybe that's perfect practice squad guy if you can clear waivers at this point after a couple years now. I think second year in the league. So, yeah, I think it's Joe Andreessen's spot. I mean, look, we've all talked about it. You know, we've come on here. I've said it for months that even if it was close, you probably keep Joe because you – don't know if Baylen will continue to stay healthy. And that, I think, at the end of the day, Baylen Spector didn't stay healthy. He hasn't. I did the math. Out of 50 possible regular season games, he's played 26.
Wow.
And now some of that was healthy scratch rookie year.
Okay, yeah.
But he's been on IR three times over the last two seasons, and then he got hurt again in training camp. It's just an issue with him. He can't stay on the field, and for whatever reason. So what's going to happen with Baylen Spector is today we'll find out if he clears waivers. Any team can claim him. He hasn't been in the league 4 years. So right now, any team can put a claim. We can find out he's on, you know, some other team today. The Miami Dolphins claim him, the Patriots claim him, whatever. If nobody claims him, he reverts back to the Bills, actually. The Bills then can say they're either going to put him on injured reserve, and then he's done for the season, and then at some point they might give an injury settlement, so then you can actually bring him back later at some point. Or they can decide we're just going to release outright with an injury settlement at that point. You know, they don't have to. But I get the feeling it's basically their IR injury settlement. And even if that's the case, you could actually bring the guy back at some point, right? Terrell Bernard also on the field yesterday with Matt Milano. First time that we've seen them in a while. Speaking of linebackers, it's just great to see, right? I mean, when those guys are together and healthy, but can you keep them both together and healthy?
Yeah.
And that's the question. Matt Milano made a play yesterday that was unbelievable. And what I mean by that is it wasn't like this highlight reel spectacular like catch or anything, but there was a jet sweep to Elijah Moore. And, I mean, Matt Milano saw it and snuffed it out and got to the spot. I wrote like he was shot out of a cannon. Like, he got to the spot before Moore could even turn the corner. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you almost feel like the – like, if there was a theme of this training camp, like something that we would remember about this training camp, because we've had, you know, memorable camps before, would it almost be that, hey, the old guys still got it? Between, like, yeah. Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, you know, like, again, like, this training camp hasn't been, like, the most drama-filled camp. You know, there wasn't a lot of that. It's Cook probably will remember it for, right, is the Holden. But other than that, it's these two guys who have been here a really long time. There was a question about what they have left. And it feels like with Milano for sure and with Tre White that all reviews have been these guys still got it.
Yeah, and I think if you want to go even further, you could put their other draft classmate, Deion Dawkins, in that. Right? I mean, yeah. Think about he's same class as those guys. The 2017 draft class,
yeah,
right, is just suddenly reemerging on the scene for the Buffalo Bills. Tre White was Sean McDermott's first pick as a draft pick. I do think that's a theme of this camp, just that these guys, the veterans, the older guys, the Bills have turned over the roster over the last year or so. We know that. Last year, they kind of moved on. Jordan and Micah and Trey, mm-hmm. right? Stephon Diggs, Mitch Morse. Last year, they did that. And they got younger. And then suddenly, here come the veterans back in to mix in with those younger guys. And, you know, you hope it's the right mix. But I think the way they're playing, Joe, that's right.
Who has the most to gain this weekend against the Giants? A couple players that you think might.
Yeah.
You know, we got one more practice here, of course. And then we're going to get to a game and the coaches and the fans are going to watch. Is it Christian Wilkerson, Tyrell Shavers, receivers, defensive backs,
backup
quarterbacks, right? Well,
that's my answer. He's still at Mike White, I think.
Yeah.
I think Mike White has the most to gain, depending on what we see. Maybe Mitch gets most of the work. Maybe Josh starts, Mitch comes in, and then the following week it's Mike getting most of the work. I don't know. But there is a legitimate competition at backup quarterback. And I guess you have to unseat the backup,
yeah.
which is Trubisky. So I think Mike White has most to gain, the way you put it, Jeremy, because
yeah.
if he can make those gains, maybe he can unseat Mitch Trubisky.
Is that the position where the preseason matters the most in a battle like that? Like, how much, like, practice and camp versus preseason for deciding a roster spot? Maybe quarterback would be top of the list for what the preseason matters the most for?
Did you guys hear Lewis Riddick yesterday about Shedeur Sanders?
No.
I was like, what? Like, yeah, you're right, I guess. He was kind of intimating. I don't know if he really – I have to go back and listen. If he was saying it was on purpose, they were setting him up to fail on purpose so they could have a reason or anything like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what he basically said was right, and it makes a lot of sense. But he said – he goes, I've seen this. This happens. They're going to throw him out there. I'm just using Sanders as an example here, right? He doesn't get a ton of reps. He's been a little bit he's had a little injury. He hasn't been getting a ton of reps. But, oh, by the way, you're our starter. He goes out there. He doesn't have the reps, so it doesn't go well. And then now the coaches have a reason to say, what the hell are you doing? Right? Come on. Wait, well, coach, I didn't have the reps. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You're the quarterback. And he was almost saying, like, it's almost sabotage sometimes for some guys if they want to get there. And I don't want to put words in this mouth, but go listen to the segment. It was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But he said, like, he goes, I've seen this happen at camp. And you're not, like, the guy has no chance, but the coaches don't want to hear it. But it's truly, they weren't prepared.
Hmm. All right, when do they play?
I know, right? Yeah, it was just really interesting.
Is that tonight also?
No.
The Browns?
The Browns do not play tonight.
Okay.
Three games tonight. It's Eagles.
Why would they want to be sabotaging Shedeur Sanders?
I don't know if he said they
pick.
Right, but I do remember, wait a minute,
how,
they have five QBs,
five,
right?
Yeah.
And there was talk. There was talk at the draft. They only drafted him because the owner wanted him at that point.
Okay, right.
Right?
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So
and he's not going to be mad that you're starting him. Like, by the way, they play tomorrow against Carolina.
But it just was sense. Really
so the
interesting.
Owner wants to see him.
The owner wants to see him, and maybe the coach is
maybe
like,
the coach didn't want him, and he's like, I'm going to put him out there when he's not ready.
I
don't know.
Show the owner what.
But even if it's not on purpose, sabotage. I don't think that's his word.
Yeah.
Even if it's not on purpose, it is something that you have to be mindful of, which is, well, if I'm going to start the guy in preseason, I know we're not game planning, but how much work has he had with any of the concepts reps wise?
Right.
One quick thing, I don't know if you have a thought on this. Smelling salts and that story of the last 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. I want to make sure I have this. Players can still use them. You just can't be provided by the team, correct?
Correct.
They have to bring them themselves.
Yeah. I have to be honest with you guys. Like, I have seen players doing smelling salts in the sidelines for many years, and I've never thought about it that much.
Yeah.
So when people start talking about it, I get it because you don't see it, and you're like, oh, wait, they use smelling salts?
Yeah.
Do you remember when – I think it was actually Ben Volen, who we all like, we actually play golf with. Like, Ben Volen wrote something – last year about how, I mean, he basically was, maybe he was in Houston. Like, he kind of wrote that Josh wasn't checked enough for concussion. He just did smelling salts and went out there. And I'm like, dude, like, these guys do smelling salts all the time, though.
Yeah, it was Houston last year when he got knocked hard.
Yeah.
Went into the tent and then came out quickly because the Bills turned the ball over. Was that it?
That's
something like
happened.
That.
That sounds right.
And, like, he kind of used smelling salts as, all they did was give him smelling salts. I'm like, I that's kind of a thing that you do, though.
I don't.
Like,
I don't,
everybody uses it.
I don't know how often Josh does it, but Baker Mayfield, I think I saw said yesterday, he does one before every drive. So
there's these little smelling salts bottles, right? You ever seen these little tiny things?
Like the little packets?
Yeah, they're little tiny bottles. I see. Like, they look like little tubes.
Okay.
And, like, sometimes I'll just see them laying on the sidelines, like, in between drives or games and during the game. And
yeah.
Because the guy does it right before he goes out.
Listen, though, if you've played hockey before ever, especially, you know that there are a couple guys, if not a lot of guys, that, like, they will fight you if you take away their – I mean, that is basically what George Kittle, like, went onto a set at NFL Network to gripe about this because there are guys, there are definitely athletes that feel like they need –
Because
they
I haven't read it in depth. What is the reason? Is it there's something inside it that's harmful? I don't think there is.
That part I've not found out.
I don't know that it's great for you, but obviously the what is happening is it's like it is waking you up.
Yeah.
Like it is getting you
jacked
up.
But like I have to read more about why they're saying like, well, we don't want them giving
now, okay. I'm sure there is some consequence.
Trainers can't give a lot of things, by the way.
That's what I was gonna say. It's probably this is their cup CYA. Like, hey, you wanna use them, that's you.
Yeah.
They didn't come from us.
I got it.
And a quick search of this is it's about, you know, the risks involved to boost alertness, but also whether or not they're even effective. So the NFL actually, Mark Maskey had this. They never banned it and then went back. They just said, we aren't providing them.
Okay.
It was always that. It was just kind of reported in a way that it looked like they banned them and then walked back.
Kittle made it sound like they banned them.
Right, and they did not. I think that's what happened.
So maybe that's the problem. Kittle made
maybe
it sound
just,
like they banned
them. Maybe
he just
got information that said, we can't give this to you anymore.
That might
what
have
do you
been
mean?
All that
he thought it was banned, but... Yeah, it's actually been going on for a long, long time. So
we're going to bring in senior goaltending correspondent Owen Paul.
Oh, wow.
He'll
to talk to us about smelling salts because he just sent us a text about smelling salts.
All right.
Yeah, I would have never made it to the illustrious heights of the North American Hockey League without my smelling salts.
Wow.
And
they
are definitely not good to be doing the amount that these guys do them. They definitely they fry a few brain cells when you inhale them as much as us athletes were doing.
What's like the percentage of the use by the team? Because like even like just like me playing like beer league, it's half the guys.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would
half
say
the guys
man,
are doing it.
As I got
those guys just want to pretend they're in the NHL.
Yeah,
sure, that's
a big
right.
thing.
That's probably...
But I know when I was playing, I would say 75% of my teammates in the North American League were banging smelling salts in between shifts, like on the bench.
Wow.
What?
It's
in
very
shifts?
Very common.
That
oh,
often.
Yeah. I would do it every time there's a commercial break for our games. We get one a period. It was halfway through the period. I would go to the bench and I would hammer smelling salts.
How did you get them? Were they provided for you by trainers?
No. I think similar to what the NFL is doing here,
you had
we were not allowed to be given them by our teams.
Okay.
And I think what often happened was somebody on the team would get a prescription somehow for a bunch of smelling salts. And then
do
they
you
would
need
just
a prescription?
That's a great
team.
Question. I'm guessing now you need a prescription.
I think I didn't... for the top, like for the real sort of juicy ones, you need a like a medical.
Because come to think of it, I don't think I've ever walked to my local drugstore and seen smelling salts sitting
there. See, I've always assumed you
right
could.
There. Like, you got the end cap. Hey, Max, go grab yourself a drink. Dad, we gotta grab some smelling salts?
See,
like, I've never seen that.
Everyone's hockey team's got the guy that is the guy that brings them every week, and I can't imagine that, like, my buddy that used to bring him, like, had a prescription for
no,
this.
I think
but maybe,
I don't know. There are sort of tiers of levels. Like, Sal, you mentioned there are some that come in those tubes.
Yeah.
Those are little bottles that are just full of what's in those popper packets.
Okay.
And so I think maybe the poppers you need an actual prescription, and maybe the bottle you don't, the bottle you might be able to buy. But I know this is hitting close to home for a lot of these guys because it's I mean, guys love them. They work, I'll tell you.
I mean, between shifts, holy cow, that's
yeah.
It's like, you know, prolonged exposure there. All right, thanks, Owen. What else? Anything else? Less,
we had dinner last night. I walked over with John Scott, Josh Reed, and Matt Perino to the Pittsford Dairy right across, right next to it, and the Trade Day Sunday is on the menu.
Oh, look at that!
Yes, we saw that.
Now people were like looking at it, go, wow, $12.95. But other people said, yeah, but have you priced ice cream at a lot of places? Like, it's actually.
It is.
Know,
yeah, it's getting
it's
up
not
there.
That bad. So it is on the menu. The Trade Day Sunday. So that was good. That's it. I mean, yeah, that's a wrap here. I mean, Sean McDermott's going to speak at 9:15. We'll find that out today, maybe, about players. Team will have a day off tomorrow. I'll actually be in with Bulldog tomorrow evening. And then Saturday it gets going again, man.
Yeah, and real quick with you, like, the future of training camp here, like, is as solid maybe as it's felt in a while.
I think so.
They had been doing this year-to-year thing, and maybe even that's still going on. But there was, for years, Sal, this wonder about whether McDermott liked coming here for camp. And I don't know that that's ever been more solid now that they do than right now.
They absolutely like it. They like to be here only for about 2.5 weeks. But the other thing is, where are you going to go? And they're not going to be – you just had Pete on. For all the things Pete was talking about next year, what's happening, could you imagine trying to do a training camp in that space?
Definitely
not. No way. I can't imagine it. That'd be amazing if they did. I would think it would be here next year, but – who knows? Maybe they're somewhere else because I think that they have to kind of renew it, you know, every year. But this is the perfect venue.
All right. Sal Capaccio, he'll be covering practice today, the final practice from St. John Fisher. And we will do our best to carry Sean McDermott today at 9:15. Maybe some announcements on what's going to happen in Saturday's preseason game against the Giants. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Back with, if you want to throw us a phone call, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
No, I think in 2017, that team was defined by people don't believe in us. Taking a group of players that were maybe cast offs from other teams or maybe written off. They were Bills players, but written off. And I think that team, I think anytime you have that, you can go on and do more than people expect. And going back to last year, that was a team that people did not expect. Us to win the division or go and win 13 or so games, be in the AFC Championship game. I think that says a lot about our staff, number one, and how we develop, but also, you know, what happens when you feel a part of something bigger. That said, I don't think you can live in this underdog mindset, even though, you know, chip on your shoulder, yes, but I don't think you can live in that world, especially when you become good. I think you have to have this internal belief that, yeah, we are good. We are legitimate, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think you have to, within that, also be consistent day to day. Knowing if we're favored and all that type of stuff is for the outsiders to look at. But at the end of the day, we know who we are. We know who we're trying to become. And, you know, it's going to be a journey. There's going to be some highs. There's going to be some lows.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I love that answer.
Yeah,
I love that answer. You just can't say you're an underdog all the time. We're good. This is paraphrasing there, you know. 2017 and maybe the year they make the AFC Championship game for the first time. Now you live here. And there's a point to be made there. Good morning, by the way. Jeremy and Joe, we're live at St. John Fisher, our last show from here. It's the last practice from Fisher this year. And you know how it works. Like, last year was a year the Bills could kind of dabble in. Nobody believes in us. Never mind, they were, of course, picked to win the division, second in Super Bowl odds, or third. But they could dabble in it. People think this won't work. And you know, whatever, that's fine. We if you watch The Last Dance, you watch Michael Jordan find motivation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like McDermott saying, like, you can't just really do that every year when you're just consistently good. You kind of have to embrace being that consistently good team.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what the Bills are, is a consistently good to great team.
Do they also – is it help them not feel the need to search out the, hey, we're underdogs? The Chiefs do this, don't they? They seek it out. Travis Kelce claiming 2 years ago after winning the Super Bowl that nobody believed in us. One of the most insane comments ever made by an athlete. Do the Bills not need it because they have the motivation of they haven't won yet?
Yeah, I mean,
that they've been this good and haven't won. Like, maybe if you have won, because you've achieved it, like, you are the ones that need it more. You need to find we're being doubted because we've already done this three times. Right. This is Kansas City, so we got to find it somewhere else. The Bills shouldn't need to find it somewhere else.
Well,
because they just haven't hoisted it yet.
We made this comparison how many months ago? 4 months ago, and I'll make it again. The Bills are Rory and the Masters. It's not no one thinks you can do it. It's everyone wonders why you haven't.
Yep.
And you actually, with Rory for the Masters, and I know golf is different because golf has multiple majors. So we knew Rory was great. He's one of the greatest of all time, and not like top three, top five, but he's an incredible talent, has been forever. And then, well, will he ever get the thing? He's got the thing that guys that are that good should have, and he doesn't have it. And when he finally did it, it was, I mean, whatever, the iconic reaction he had on the green was a person releasing the pressure of doing a thing that they were supposed to have done. And that's what this team is for the Super Bowl. They're supposed to have gone to one. You're being this good. The Ravens are this way too right now. Like, who was it, DVOA? Aaron Schatz had this. Like, the best 4 or 5 year stretch of any team in the history of DVOA are the Bills and Ravens of the last 5 years.
Without making a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right. So, like, you know, you're supposed to have done it by now. So that's where the pressure comes, and you're not an underdog. You are a favorite, and got to get there. So, you know, whatever.
The motivation is to not suffer the embarrassment of not going again, to not have that be true, to not have the graphic up on ESPN that gets booed at our draft party of most wins in NFL history over 5 years without making it to a Super Bowl. Like, they don't want that. They don't want that. I don't think they want that on their resume. They don't want to be remembered for that it's all said and done. And when you've won, you don't have to worry about all of that. The pressure for Kansas City and those guys to win it, it's just not the same at all, because they could bow out in the wild card round this year. And what will people say? Like, oh, they were just tired from going every year.
That's right.
They were just exhausted. They ran out of steam because they had gone to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
Yep.
Or whatever. Versus this team, it's just like it's a whole different level of criticism and analysis that they will receive because they haven't won it. Not going. Well, not going is insane.
Who's ready? Like, if you want to talk about stars aligning and perfect storylines, and every once in a while we like to do that, right? It'll be midway through the season and someone will say, oh, imagine if the Bills could beat this team, then this team, then this team, and then the Super Bowl, they beat this team. It's a perfect revenge tour.
Yeah.
Allow me, if you will, to lay out the perfect finish to, well, the AFC side of the thing. You can put whoever you want in the Super Bowl because – I don't know if there's a storyline on the NFC side that is perfect, but in the AFC, it's this. The AFC Championship game is here in Buffalo.
Yep.
Against the Chiefs. And the game is for the right to go or have them match the team that didn't quite build that stadium, but Highmark is the 90s Bills going to 4 in a row.
Yeah.
This is the Chiefs' attempt to go to 4 in a row. That game is okay. Then you have the AFC Championship game at Highmark, the last game that would ever be played there, and you would also be defending the honor of the team that played there as the only team
to go to four straight Super Bowls. Maybe that's not perfect because maybe that's too intense. But really,
yeah.
you would be these Bills would be fighting on behalf of those Bills in the final game of the stadium. Not the final regular season game, but the real, honest-to-goodness last game. Is that too intense? Are people breathing heavy? Because people probably already thought of that, and it just hit me for the first time today that could be...
That's your perfect...
Well, I mean, in terms of storylines... No, perfect is the Bills win by 78 points, and they beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game because, I don't know. But, man, when you start to piece together what it might look like or put yourself in your seat that day, you're carried right back to it where, these seasons, September through December, are about – have fun, stay healthy, handle business, have fun. And then in January, it's like, well, it all comes down to this. And I don't know. I mean, you said, the Chiefs are tired from going all the time. Are the Bills tired of the same thing, too? That's what David Montgomery said. We're tired of being close. They've done it for 2 years.
Yeah.
The Lions.
I mean, this is not why I think this, but I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row. Let's say that. I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row.
I don't either.
I think, that'd be great. That AFC Championship play out. I don't know that I've ever been as confident in two teams going this far and not hitting a road, a stumble along the way. It is going to be the Bills and the Ravens. I've never been more confident of, a matchup that deep. It is going to be the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Someone's going to knock out, one of the two is going to knock out Kansas City. I don't even know which one, but I just think these two teams are so ready to do it. All this talk is included in that too, I guess. The motivation of not having done it yet. I don't know. The division in the AFC West, I think, is going to be really good compared to past years. I've said this, that I don't. This is why I think the one seed is so important. I don't think the Bills might have to play Kansas City this year. If they get the one seed. Did this a month ago. Looking at the path of that one seed every year in the last 5 years, the Bills have never had it.
Yeah.
It is so – I don't care about the home field advantage. Give me
one less
the
game.
Path of one less game and not having to play both Kansas City and Baltimore. The advantage of not just getting that first win automatically, but getting to play the AFC South in round two.
Yeah.
Which has been the case for three straight years, or three of the last 4 years, whatever it is. I think you might not have to do it. It'd be great. It'd be a storyline. I think if you were to design in a lab the perfect finish to the stadium, you're probably beating both of them somehow, some way. But you're beating Kansas City at home to go to the Super Bowl. That's the fairy tale. But I don't think they're getting there. I think they're playing Baltimore.
803-0550. Well, Kerry Sean McDermott live as he gives his final press conference from training camp. Jeremy and Joe, pick of the week coming up here on WGR. All right, it's time for the pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Pick of the week from Riverfront is a 1994 Chevy Corvette two-door black-on-black convertible, sleek, powerful, and built for summer cruising. This Corvette delivers timeless performance and style. Stop by Riverfront Auto Sales. Make it yours before it's gone. 1379 Niagara Street, online at riverfrontautosales.com. Call 886-1626 for that black-on-black convertible Corvette. Pick of the week. Do we want to do the FedEx, the first round of that, the St. Jude? I mean,
how about it's underway. The F1 movie for pick of the week?
Yeah. How about
Brad Pitt?
How about Joe Burrow playing football tonight?
Yeah.
Do you want to know a name that Ian Hart has just tweeted about? He's a training camp darling. He was last year, too. And he might be awesome, but we've never been able to find out. And that's A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell.
Yes.
Wide receiver of the Colts. He plays tonight. Maybe he and Anthony Richardson can get something going or whatever. I'm just on A.D. Mitchell because.
What was the A.D. Mitchell? A.D. Mitchell got open all the time last year and nobody could hit him with a pass?
Correct. That was his season. He was open all the time and nobody could hit him with a pass. He was the one that was the 10th receiver from that draft class.
and he wears number 10, yeah, or he was the 11th, and he wears 10 because there's 10 guys taken in front of him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think pick of the week should be whatever quarter Jameis Winston plays against the Bills on Saturday.
Ooh.
Electric.
Oh, yeah.
Winston against the Bills backups is going to be wild. Tons of big passes, probably interceptions.
Yep.
He wears number 19, I saw, for the Giants now. How do you feel about Winston wearing number 19? It's a bad quarterback number, right?
19 is Joe Montana with the Chiefs.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Man, I thought I was not going to be able to remember a guy that wore 19, but that's a good one.
And 19 is?
It's a punter number, isn't it? No, it's a receiver number, really.
Who else wore number 19?
That played quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's receivers for me. It's Mike Williams.
Johnny Unitas wore 19.
Oh, okay. All right. And now Jameis.
That's right.
their quarterback room, I'll be interested to see what they do. All four. Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito. Those are the four quarterbacks you get on Saturday. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to one, if you're going to a preseason game, what do you want from the other team? You want quarterbacks you've heard of. You got four of them.
The one thing the Giants
maybe Tommy DeVito's agent will be there.
One thing the Giants do have, and I wonder how much this goes into preseason. Again, we might hear from Sean McDermott about the plan on who plays and how much each player is going to play, how much Josh is going to play. Joe, the Giants don't have a lot, but they might have a really good pass rush.
Yeah.
Might have a really good pass rush.
Yeah.
Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau,
Abdul Carter.
Like, you just
menacing.
Yeah.
It's the line that – isn't it the line Brandon Bean has dreamed of his entire – like, it is super talented.
Yeah, so
– and assuming Carter is great, which everybody expects him to be, like,
and if I could
Hall of Fame-level right. talent.
And if I could borrow something from Hard Knocks, you know, sometimes we kind of speculate on how they feel about it. How about Bobby Babich in a defensive meeting flat out saying to his players, like, don't touch 17. That guy's our ticket. Like, they say yeah, that amongst I mean, themselves, don't touch the guy. Now, like, oh, we're playing against the Giants who have a bunch of freaks that could get after him.
Yeah, maybe you don't play him.
Maybe
you don't play him.
Let's make sure we're keeping things really careful.
I mean, they shouldn't play him no matter what, but especially.
Yeah. We'll maybe get the answer to this. Bernie Kosar, number 19. Thanks, Paul. That was another one I was thinking
Bernie
of. Paul
Kosar.
Hamilton. Bernie Kosar.
All these are, though, the 90s and before. Who's done it recently? Nobody.
Somebody. Somebody did. I'll find it. Scott Mitchell. That's
nope.
He's not modern.
It's all quarterbacks that wore 19 before wide receivers were wearing 19, I think is the answer.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.